God. I love that line. It says, He made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross. Praise God. Thanks again, Heather. Beautiful singing. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1? And we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the hope of Christmas. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit that's been here throughout this service. And Lord, I come to you now and I ask for the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me, that I may transmit your word in a way that would bring you glory and honor, Lord Jesus. That would open up our eyes to a greater revelation of you. Open our spiritual eyes this morning, Lord. And Father, remind us of the tremendous hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus, and only in you. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Eugene Land was born in the east side of the section of New York City that's called Harlem. It was one of the most drug-infested, crime-riddled sections, and portions of it are yet today found in New York City. He had a very difficult life growing up. His family was very poor. But he purposed in his heart that he would work hard and advance in life as far as he could go. He worked hard and in school, and even under difficult circumstances, with other kids making fun of him for making such good grades, he put himself through college, counting on grants and scholarships and working nights and sometimes two jobs at a time to pay his tuition. And he finally graduated college with a degree in business management, and he come to find out that he had a gift in the printing world, in designing and printing. And he used his business expertise, obtaining a small government loan from the Small Business Administration, to found a printing business. And he worked hard and built that printing business into a multi-million dollar corporation. And in the midst, at the pinnacle, I should say, of his success, he found Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Lord began to burden his heart for the side of town that he was born and reared in, that east side of Harlem. And the Lord put it in his heart to go back and help the children at the school, that his elementary school that he attended. And The Lord gave him no specific direction at that time. He said, I just want you to go back and encourage those kids and help, and I'll show you what to do. And he went back and was speaking to a classroom of some 30 students. And as he began to speak, in his heart he was still troubled because the Lord had not given him specific instruction on what he was to do. He was just to go and try to encourage these kids. And as he stood before them, the Holy Spirit spoke to him one word, hope. Hope. And he realized at that moment in time what the Lord was saying to him, that what these children in this classroom needed was a first, of course, Jesus Christ, but secondly, they needed hope because they felt trapped, that they would never get out of that situation. And he began to share with them his story and how it wouldn't be easy. They would have to work hard. But as he was ending the little speech that he'd given them that day, he felt in his heart like, I haven't done much to help these kids. And at that moment in time, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, make the offer, and I've blessed you with the funds to do this, that you'll pay for the college of every one of these kids that'll go. Think of that. And at that moment, he said that to that class of children. He said, I'll pay for the college of any of you that will go. And out of that little classroom came a Supreme Court justice by the name of Clarence Thomas. And I want you to think of that. Hope is a marvelous thing. And that is the greatest thing that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to humanity, is hope. Because all of humanity comes into this world born into sin, born with the specter and the shackles of sin around our hearts and spirits. And we have no hope as human beings of doing anything to extricate ourselves from the power of sin. That is the true message of Christmas, is that Christ provided hope when he came and took on the form of man. Because without Christ, humanity is hopeless. Without Christ, humanity is helplessly bound by sin's power, with no hope to change our lives. My Lord, if you have Jesus in your heart and life this Christmas, you got something to shout about. Don't worry if you don't get your diamond ring or your fur or the kind of car or kids. I'm going to make the kids mad at me this morning. Not even the kind of toy you want. This is about Jesus Christ, this holiday is. I want you to know that. It's good we exchange gifts. It's good we take time to get together as family. But this holiday is about the hope and grace and mercy that Jesus Christ came to bring us when he left the portals of glory, did not have to do it, willingly came and took on the form of man, was born of a virgin, went up Calvary's hill to pay the price for our sin, and 3 days later arose from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he made the promise, I will come again, glory to God. This Christmas, we got something to shout about. Not only that he came the first time, but glory to God, he's coming again. He's coming again, hallelujah. That's hope. And when he comes back, he's not coming on the backside of the desert. He's not coming born in a manger with dirty, filthy animal dung all around him. The next time he comes, he will be shining white and bright in a glorified body with a crown upon his head with many jewels. Hallelujah! That's hope. That's hope. That has to get in your heart if you know him this morning. That first time he came, humanity was hopeless and helpless, to say the least. And it blesses my heart to know. I want to personalize this. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. He came after you. He came after you. He didn't have to do it. I often wonder, because the Bible calls Jesus Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means when God was speaking these planets into existence, it was known at that moment in time that Jesus Christ would one day come and give his life on the cross of Calvary. That blesses me so. There's nothing like the love of God. There's nothing like it. And at Christmas time, that love should fill our hearts with such hope, because we have what the Bible calls the blessed hope in the book of Titus, that Jesus Christ is soon to return again. And we will receive at that moment in time a glorified body that will never grow old and will never wear out. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. And church, I am here to tell you, I believe it could happen before we get this service over with today. Don't let the world dictate to you how you should feel at really this holiday that they have turned in to merchandising, because it's not about that. It's about the hope that Jesus Christ not only provided, but about the hope that Jesus Christ provides to all of humanity and to all who put their faith and trust in Him. He loves you and me. He loves the world. He hates the fact that there are people dying in sin. You know, I want to take you to the text for just a moment. The Bible says His birth was on this wise, that Joseph was a spouse to be married to Mary. And I'm going to bring out something here in a moment maybe you didn't know before. But it was found that Mary was with child. That was a shame and a disgrace in biblical times that was, the proportions of it were so great, I don't know that I could explain it to you. It's not like today. A girl becomes expectant outside of marriage today, and it's really no big deal. But in this day and age, Mary could have been stoned under the law for being found with child and not being married. They were just engaged, her and Joseph were. And the Bible says that in her dream, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph. It said, Joseph, don't be afraid, for what's in Mary's womb is holy. It has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. And when he's born, you call his name Jesus, which means Savior, Healer, Deliverer. For he shall save his people from their sins. My Lord, I got to stop and preach there for a minute. That word sins in the Greek text is sozo. And the word sin is harmateia. It means to miss the mark. It means to fall short of a desired goal. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not been a human born outside of Jesus Christ, who is all God and all man, that met God's standard of holiness and perfection. That's what God requires if He's to relate to anybody. He requires 100% holiness and perfection if He is going to be in a relationship with anybody. And all of us had missed the mark. He shall save His people from their sins, harmateia. The word save in the Greek text is sozo. And it means to totally deliver from a heavy burden or weight. Praise God. Praise God. He. Oh, glory to God. Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ, born of this virgin girl Mary, who was about 14 or 15 years old probably at the time, was carrying the deliverer of the world in her womb that had been conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the angel announced to Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. Glory to God. And then the Bible says that immediately Joseph did what he was told to do in the dream. Let me tell you something. Did you catch that? This Bible, the words in it are spirit breathed. It was authored by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moved on men. It says immediately Joseph went out and married her. There is strong evidence, as I've studied, to suggest that at the time Mary was discovered with child, that it was just within a day or two of the formal ceremony of her and Joseph. Now think of that. Just within days of the formal Jewish ceremony which would unite them in marriage. And it would have been so easy at this time for Joseph to have said, I'm not going to suffer the shame and humiliation of this. But when this angel appeared to him in a dream, he had the faith to believe. He believed what was shown him. And I can't imagine what kind of obedience it must have took on Joseph's part. What kind of love and faith it must have taken. God had to give it to him. That kind of faith can only come from God. We as humans can't work it up. That he went ahead and proceeded with going through that wedding ceremony with the whole town knowing his beautiful young little wife was expectant with a child. But oh, how God blessed his obedience. He could have walked away from it. Joseph could have walked away and washed his hands of the whole thing, and under the Levitical law been 100% correct in doing so. But he made a choice to obey God. And he put his hope, because he knew the Messiah was coming. He put his hope in the fact of, first of all, Mary's virtue, that she had not been with another man, because the angel told him, what's in her womb is conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. And he made that choice to proceed then with the wedding ceremony. And then the Redeemer of the world came forth. Hallelujah. This Christmas, as you gather around, you get together with your family, or maybe, I don't even know, some perhaps might even be alone. I pray not. But I want you to know the hope of Christmas is Jesus Christ coming after us. The hope of Christmas is Jesus Christ giving his life on Calvary's cross. The hope of Christmas is Jesus Christ's promise to return again in power and glory. The hope of Christmas is Jesus Christ's promise to all who put their faith and trust in his sacrifice on the cross that they will have eternal life. I love what he told us in John 14. And it rings through my heart this morning. As he told his disciples that day, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Glory to God. That's hope, church. That's hope. If you know Jesus Christ, you've got the hope of Christmas alive in your heart, because he said, I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Only Jesus Christ, through the power of the mighty Holy Ghost, can quicken the human heart and spirit that is dead and make it live again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I got to be so careful this morning. We got kids in the sanctuary. But it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. I want to say that. It's all about Jesus. When you get together, remember that this year. Wednesday night, I urge you, please come be with us if you can. We're going to have a beautiful service. We're going to gather around and we're going to read out loud this entire Christmas story out of this book of Matthew. Because if you look back in your Old Testament, one of the ways they instilled hope in the coming generations of children, the Lord commanded them to do this. He said, you rehearse the things that I, Jehovah God, have done in their minds. You tell them how I brought you through the Red Sea. You tell them how I miraculously provided manna for you. You tell them how you saw Moses smite the rock and water come forth from it to give life when there was no life there. You remind them that I am Jehovah God. We've got to instill that not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of the next generations. That this time we celebrate the birth of Jesus is not about commercialism. It's not about making people on Wall Street rich. It's about giving praise to the Son of God who loved us enough to become one of us. That's why this text we read this morning goes on to say, He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And he took it one step further by giving his life on the cross. He can now live in us. Hallelujah. That's hope. Glory to God. And it's the only hope this world has. There's hope in nothing else. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus Christ coming after us. Heather, that song you sang. She's back in the nursery now. How beautiful. I loved how I heard somebody say it once. Christmas is not the kind of time to come together and salivate over a little plastic babe in a manger. We celebrate the fact that he took on the form of man. He became Emmanuel, God with us. But what it was all about was making a way to the cross. It was all about making a way to the cross. Because had Jesus just been born and lived a perfect life, we would yet be dead in our sins. There's where the Muslims miss it. There's where the Buddhists miss it. They confess that Jesus came. It's undeniable. It's undeniable that a man named Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and came. It's undeniable even he died on a cross. But had he just came, we would yet be dead in our sins because a penalty had to be paid. That's why the angel told Joseph at the culmination of the promise of the hope of the coming Messiah, he said, He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. It's all about Christ and him crucified. I never get tired of preaching that. I know some of you might be looking at me this morning. You think, Pastor, we've heard that 1,000 times. Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's how you're looking at it, you need to let it come alive in your heart because it's only up here, not down here. Hallelujah. If you didn't feel the power of the Holy Ghost surge through you when we took that Holy Communion, you better check your spiritual attitude. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not about having us dressed all fancy this morning and looking nice. It's about remembering his sacrifice. That is the hope of Christmas when he bowed his head and said, It is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. It is finished. That's the hope of Christmas. What came from Calvary's Hill? The manger was just a way to get there. But the atoning work was done on the cross. The hope of Christmas emanates from the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Let that hope fill your heart. Don't look to the world. It's a mess. This world's going to get worse. I'm here to tell you 2012, and it don't matter if we elect a Democrat, a Republican, a Pharisee, or whatever you want to call them. There's no help in a politician. There is no help in a politician. Get it out of your mind. It don't matter who's in there, because it's a corrupt system. All of it is. But you must know as a child of God, let this hope fill your heart, that you are a citizen of the kingdom of the Most High God. You have been adopted by Jesus Christ, washed in his precious blood, set free from sin's power, and you have the hope and promise of eternal life in him. Glory to God. That's hope. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph, with the whole town laughing at him, went ahead and married this young virgin. And Christ was born of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that God himself entered into the womb of this little 15-year-old virgin girl. It's a strange way to save the world, ain't it? To have it done the way God did it. But angels were looking on in awe that day that Jesus Christ was born in that dirty, filthy manger. You know, you read about other religions, they all have ornate characters in them. They all have great swelling stories about the birth and the actions of who they claim is God or had a revelation from God. But Jehovah God chose to break through time and eternity and give us the Savior in a dirty, smelly manger with no fanfare, with no great pomp or circumstance. And he operated through a 14-year-old virgin by the name of Mary. But thank God he came. And he had to become one of us. He had to become Emmanuel, God with us. Because only another human could pay the price to set other humans free. And there was no other human that could do it. And they had that conversation from the foundation of the world, he and the Father did. Mankind's going to fall, son. Adam and Eve will fail. Meaning that all who come after them will be failures. And before the world were even created, he knew every one of our names. And he made that decision before God framed the worlds. Father, I'll go. When it comes time, I'll go. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. He came. But he came to give us hope that we could be saved from our sins through him. See, this world, as I'm closing now, this world that we live in, there are a lot of problems in it. But all those problems are just symptoms of the real disease. The real disease, this world really has only one problem in it. It really does. It has only one problem in it. That's sin. That's the only problem this world has. Every other issue that occurs is an offshoot of that sin. And he came to save us from that sin. What hope that should give us, no matter what this world's doing, no matter what's going on in Washington or Wall Street, we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Has he ever let you down one time? Has he ever failed on one promise? That should give us hope, and we need to tell our children about that. We need to remind them continually. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday night service where we can sit and tell these kids and remind ourselves it's all about Jesus. He's the reason for our hope. He's the reason that we have the grace and mercy of God. And that hope and grace and mercy is provided via what he did on the cross. That's hope. That's a hope that'll never fade. You know, another story I read this week that really touched me. There was a nurse working in the Sloan Kettering burn unit. And I don't know a lot. I know some of you are in the medical field. But as I understand it, I think Maritas, I believe you're a nurse. Is that correct? No, I'm sorry. I've got something confused. I'm sorry. I know Val. I know you're working in the medical field, aren't you? You and your husband. They say, as I understand it, that a burn unit victim, it's one of the most excruciating pains you can have, because after a time they have to cleanse that skin of the burn. And it is so sensitive. If they don't cleanse it, it'll become rotten, and all kind of terrible things will happen, and the victim will die. Well, this nurse related the story of she had not been working in the burn unit long. There was a little boy in there who had been burnt by one of these gas stoves. They were a poor family, and it had been kicked over, and he was asleep, and I think she said he was 8 years old, 7, 8 years old, and it burnt over three quarters of his body. He was barely alive. And she said the screams that he would give out when they would have to go and wash him, wash those burns. She said she saw grown doctors, very experienced, cry because they couldn't hardly stand up. They knew they had to get his wounds cleaned or else he would die. And after a time, they got him to the point where the excruciating washing of the wounds could cease, and the healing process of the body growing its own skin back and skin grafts being done, he started to heal. But he laid there so hopeless. And they tried everything in the world to get him to be encouraged a little bit, but nothing worked. And then finally he had gotten to the point one day where they said, well, he can be schooled some while he's here in the hospital, because he was falling so behind in school. And they sent a teacher whose specialization was to teach students outside the classroom. She went and got with his teacher in the classroom and told her, she told the homebound teacher that we're working studying nouns and adverbs and multiplication right now. And no one had told this homebound teacher, she went into his room that day, the severity of his burns. And she looked at him, and the smell was, she said, almost more than she could bear. But she said she bit her lip, turned around, choked back the tears, and then went in and began to teach him and ask him, you know, where he was at academically. And she began to work with him. And after about 2 days, the nurse of the head nurse of the burn unit, who had been with him since the time he was brought in, caught the teacher on the way in on the third day, and she said, "What have you done to him?" And the teacher, not understanding, she said, "Well, I've just been trying to help." She said, "No, no, no, no." She said, "I'm not talking about academically." She said, "I've never seen such a turnaround in a patient's mental attitude, especially a young boy." She said, "He is laughing. He's cutting up with us." And she said, "His good spirit is just doing nothing but help the healing process throughout his whole body." And she said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I haven't done anything." She went in that day and began to talk to him. She said, "Why are you feeling so much better? Why are you happy?" And he looked at her through tear-stained eyes. He said, "Because you've given me hope." Because he said, "I figured out that they're not going to send in a teacher to try to help somebody who's going to die." He'd been scared to death of dying. And when the teacher started coming in, he knew it put hope in his heart. He knew, "I'm not dying. They wouldn't waste the time to send her in here." And I thought, what a parallel of what Jesus Christ did for all of humanity. He gave us hope because he came. Hallelujah. He came, glory to God. And he washed the dirt away. Hallelujah. And he healed us up. Glory to God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you please stand? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the hope we have in you this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you today for this hope of Christmas, Lord, that emanates from Calvary. Glory to your name. I so feel the anointing of your spirit here today, Lord Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I would be remiss today, I feel, if I did not give you an opportunity to get your life right with God. And I want to ask you that question right now. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? You might say in answer to that question, well, Pastor, I'm trying to be good, or I come to church at Christmas and Easter, and I try to do this or do that. None of those things make us right with God. Works cannot meet God's standard. God's standard, if he is to relate to a human, is 100% perfection and 100% holiness in every area of that person's life. Only Jesus Christ has met God's standard. But here's the good news. Here's the hope of Christmas for a sin-benighted, hell-bound humanity. God will accept by faith your trust in Jesus Christ, and he will count you as being 100% holy and righteous. But that only happens when you place faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You can't get it by being good. You can't get it by trying hard. It comes freely as his gift to humanity. But it's only through Christ and what he did on the cross. And I submit to you this morning, based on the authority of God's word, that if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, I don't care how much good you may think you're doing, you're not right with God. Because you're falling short of his standard of 100% perfection in some area. And only Jesus Christ, through the victorious, vicarious sacrifice that he made on Calvary, can make you right with God by faith in who he is and what he did there. I want to ask you this morning, are you right with God? What is your hope in? Is it in your works? Is it in the good things you've done? That's fallen short. That won't provide you with a right standing before a holy God. But his offer of salvation is being extended now. Let this hope of Christmas come alive in your heart today, if it hasn't already. And you can walk out of here being right with God, being a new person in Jesus Christ, having all of your sin washed away, which is your problem. It's humanity's problem. Are there any here today who would say by uplifted hand, Pastor, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise, I'm not going to call you down front. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please keep this very private and personal. Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Would you slip up a hand? I won't embarrass you. God bless you. I see that hand. Are there any others? I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Are there any others at all? To that precious one who raised their hand then, I want you to know God loves you. The Holy Spirit wants you to know God loves you. And he engineered this service just for you today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask the congregation to pray it out loud with me. And there's nothing magical in this prayer. I'm just praying it to help you. Perhaps you don't know the right words to say to him. That's the reason for this prayer. But if you pray it and you mean it, he will wash your sin away. He'll take up residence via the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. And he will wipe all sin away and break sin's power over your life. And he'll make you a new person. He'll do it. You don't have to do anything. Don't try. You can't do anything about it. Submit your life to him today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone who would you pray this prayer out loud with me, just to lend strength to those who are praying it. Dear God in heaven, I come to you. I am a sinner. I need you, Jesus. I am asking you, Lord Jesus, to cleanse me of my sin, to make me new. Lord, I place my faith and my trust exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on the cross. I receive him as my Lord, my Savior. I confess based upon the Word of God, which cannot lie, according to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I now am washed, I'm clean, I'm holy because of my faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, cleansing me. I will serve you all of my life. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you prayed that prayer, there was nothing magical in that prayer itself, but if you meant it in your heart, you know now Jesus Christ has come into your heart and life. And if you just want to share and confess Christ publicly before us all, would you just lift your hand now and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you this morning and I meant it. God bless you, my sister back there. God bless you guys. Several of you raising your hand. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Praise God. The hope of Christmas just came alive for you. You've been adopted into the kingdom of God now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the rest of us, Ravonna, I'm going to ask you to come up as a church family now. Could we come and just gather around the altars? We're about to be dismissed. Taryn Austin, would you guys come on up with Ravonna, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, thank you for these precious souls this morning. We honor you, Lord Jesus. As a church family, as we stand in the presence of God around this altar this morning, before I ask Ravonna to dismiss, I just wanted you to know, and I wanted to send from our family to your family, a joyous Christmas, and it will be if Jesus is in your heart. Don't worry about what's under your tree. Worry about what's in your heart. That's what counts. And I just wanted you to know how much we love you all and how honored we are to be your pastors and extend to you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas and a wonderful, prosperous New Year. And I want to thank Chris for engineering some beautiful singing today. He works hard at this. I tell you, God knew what he was doing when he sent me somebody like Chris to work with me, because I'm about as disorganized as you can be. I mean, I'm talking about on functional things. Now, my gifting's in preaching and teaching the word, but it ain't in organizing events. And Chris, you missed a good chance to shout amen there, Chris. But he has such a gift of organization and keeping things running the way they should. I just appreciate you so much, and thank you for all you do. It does not go unnoticed by me or this congregation. And I just want to thank you for the beautiful singing that you engineered today. And thanks to everyone. Again, Paula and Jessica and all of you young folks, you blessed us today. Amen. So God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Please come if you can. We're going to have communion again. We're going to have a candlelight service. We're going to sing some more Christmas songs that glorify Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus is coming to town or nothing like that. But we're going to sing songs about Jesus, because this holiday is first about Jesus. Amen. And I believe it's going to be a beautiful service. So that'll be our last service until our service on New Year's Day. So please come and be with us if you can. And God bless you all. I love you. I'll say Merry Christmas.